Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Glad you could join us to talk about this Astros team again today. Lance, baby steps. Astros scored first for the first time in 19 games. You happy?
What? 19 games?
19 games. First time that they scored first.
Do you know that's an actual bet that can be made in Vegas? Or
yeah, under... Emmanuel Clase, he was betting on that.
Who's that's unbelievable. 19 games.
Yeah, 19 games. 19 games.
That's first probably time a Major League Baseball record.
They were 7-11 in those 18 games that they scored.
Well, at least that meant they. Well, did they win? I'm assuming they won because Framber was on their mound. They were -270. I'm assuming they won. They won, right? Oh, John's not. I thought you were Dell doing your thing where you point at me and you say, yes, that's right, what you're saying. I didn't know you meant that's because John's not on the air. No, they didn't win, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. The Astros did not win yesterday. All right, there he is. He's back. I was doing that thing where I pretended I didn't know if they won or not.
Yeah.
And then in real life, I knew that they didn't win. And
yeah, right.
And they were beaten 2-1.
Okay.
Because Washington is a tough team. Washington's one of the better teams. Let me check the standings real quick because I think they are. I gotta
check.
They're
leading the National League, I think.
Yeah, Washington is way up there.
Yeah. No.
That's actually not them. They're 44-62. They're 17.5 back. Hold on.
Listen,
that's not them.
The Astros don't play against. They just don't play poor teams well. They just don't.
Well, hold on. Actually, they are the third worst team in baseball, according to
differential. Did you see that lineup? It is awful. It's awful.
I know, and Washington's isn't much better.
Well, no.
I thought you meant us.
Well, I guess
I would thought you meant our sweet lineup.
I would take Washington's lineup over ours last night.
I would, too.
Did you happen to see the numbers Framber has been putting up?
Yeah, they're good.
14 straight games.
Yeah.
14 games.
He's an ace.
His last 14 games. He's 10-0. And in the four no decisions, 27 innings, 2 earned runs.
Well, I don't
know
what else he can do. He gave up
two
one.
Runs.
He gave up one yesterday, struck out
and
12.
He was pissed about it. Did you see the quote about that?
No, I didn't see his quote.
Oh!
Got pulled out?
No. They were positioned.
No,
where
I didn't see what he said. What did he say?
Outfield was positioned. He said, and here's his quote.
Trouble in paradise for Joe Espada.
I saw the right fielder playing center field. And you know, we have a center fielder for that. I feel like the right fielder should have been playing right field. I was uncomfortable with that, Valdez said through an interpreter. Basically, the right fielder was playing right center field.
Mm-hmm.
And that ball should have been just a single. And it should have been second and third. And then Framber would have gotten out of it because his numbers with runners in scoring position it's stupid how good he is. It's stupid how good he is. Mm-hmm. They put up his numbers with runners in scoring position. It's the best in the league. The OPS, I believe, was 455. Mm-hmm. With runners in scoring position. Dude, his four no decisions, 27 innings and 2 runs. And he got no decision in 4 games. He should be 14-0 in his last 14 starts.
Does that make him the best pitcher on the staff?
Oh, yeah, by far. Mm-hmm. Right now, it's not even close.
Framber's tremendous. I mean, he's the most consistent pitcher they have had, and it's not even close. And he's doing everything he can. I mean, he's doing everything he can. This lineup is just an atrocity. And the minor leaguers, the Cowboys, are playing like the Cowboys now. the Sugar Land Space Cowboys are playing like the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
And that's all they have. Like, it was a fun little game while it lasted, but it's the big boys now are, you know, real major leaguers are playing, and these guys aren't good enough. They're not good enough to do. Fromber did everything he could. King, of course, came in and gave up a run because that's what he does. But you know, you just aren't you don't even have a fighting chance with this offense right now. This has really gotten to the point, you know. I was for a long time expecting yesterday for the first time. I said, you know, I was just looking at Fromber being such a big favorite because he's pitched so well. And I just thought, I mean, shouldn't they be able to score runs? And then I realized, how they're not good enough. Like, even against lesser pitchers, they're not scoring runs right now. You know why? Because they're minor leaguers. They're not major leaguers. You got a team full of minor leaguers in there, or low, or mid to low level backups. And it's just not functional. And this is, frankly, it's a miracle, which we now it really, really sinks in. It's a miracle they had the lead they had. And we knew it. We talked about it at the time, but I don't know if we really grasped what a miracle it was that they were doing. And without Jeremy Pena, this is really, you know, you're really starting to miss Jeremy Pena badly. And Paredes, too. Paredes and Pena.
Oh, no.
I mean, holy crap. Without those two bats in the lineup, what do you have left? You have Altuve, who didn't have a good game. And then, I mean, Cam Smith, who's kind of come back to reality. Well, what do you have left? Trammell, Short, Hummel, Melton, I mean, Dubon. What do you – you don't even have Jake. Actually, your three best hitters this year, you don't have him in the lineup. Well, okay, Altuve is – well, I mean, Altuve's up there, but Jake, you know, Jake's been one of your best hitters, one of your top four hitters. Three of them are gone. One of them's gone for eternity. Isak Paredes broke his hamstring. Rest in peace. Yep. So Jake, I guess, is coming back. Jeremy Pena will eventually come back. It's a rib. And then who else? Jeremy, Jake, and then Paredes, we talked about, not going to come back. Altuve's there. Yordan, whatever. I don't know, whatever, Yordan.
Whatever.
I'm not even, there's no point in talk about a timetable with Yordan.
So you still, it's amazing, you still have a three-game lead in the division. When all of these, it looks like Arrigetti is going to make one more start, and then he's going to come, and he'll be here. So you might have to, might not have to worry about Ryan Gusto anymore, hopefully. I mean, hopefully.
But you're going to have to hope that a guy who hasn't pitched for several months.
Yeah,
comes in and pitches at a major league level.
Let me have Arrigetti, who hasn't pitched for several months, versus Ryan Gusto.
He can pitch like Fromber did and get a loss too, or get a no decision.
Yeah.
That's the concern.
Obviously. Well, Dana was on, and he's been on all week, saying he wants a left-handed bat, preferably an infielder. And that would be nice to fill third base, because you're not going to get another third. You're about done with that. And then you'll have to worry about that, because you got Paredes under control for a couple more years. And you got and whoever you get, hopefully you'll have some control over. Although the less control, the less you'll have to give up. But, you know, this I'm torn. What do you give up for guys right now? Because is this a World Series team? I don't know. If Javier comes back and he's Javier, if Garcia comes back, he's Garcia. If Arrigetti comes back, he's Arrigetti. If Yordan comes back and he's Yordan. If Pena comes back and he's, if Isak comes back and he's Isak. I mean, you got so many ifs. You got so many ifs on this team. But if it is all together, if they all come together, I mean, you still have a three-game lead in this division. It's amazing. It's amazing what they have done. Despite the five-game losing streak, despite the fact you can't beat bad teams, you're still a giant killer. You're a giant. You're the opposite of a lamb killer. You're a giant killer. That's what you do. You just beat good teams, and then you suck against crappy teams. It's amazing, this team. It is amazing with all AAA guys. But the question is what do you give up right now for some help that's going to help a team that's possibly, you know, I guess it's a playoff team. I guess it is. Mm. We'll see by the time it's all said and done.
I mean, there's a chance they're not a playoff team if you don't get guys back, and if guys come back and they don't play well. We've just been assuming they are, but this brand of baseball is going to bring back, you know, Seattle's within striking distance. It is, without question, they're within striking distance. Bad baseball isn't really going anywhere, it appears. You can't have bad pitching outings because your lineup is just up against it now. And there's a chance that the fun little, you know, stuff that you talked about, there may be enough of a book on some of these hitters now where they're being attacked differently and some of the success they had previously. And let's not forget, a lot of the quote unquote success that the guys were having, they weren't just raking the ball. They were getting hits at timely, you know, they were getting timely hits at different situations. It's one of the reasons that the Astros had the lead that they had in the division is that they were scoring runs late. They were scoring runs close and late after the seventh inning. You had talked about they were one of the league leaders after the seventh inning. So it's not like, you know, this is box to wire stuff or wire to wire stuff. This has been, you know, this has been playing low margin for error baseball where you are getting runs with runners in scoring position. You're scoring late. Your bullpen had been pitching at an astonishing level for some of the guys that there were. There was a lot of things going in your way, and it's not going in your way right now. And I think, you know, yeah, you got to have Arrigetti get back. You have to have that. And it'd be nice to have Christian Javier be a decent pitcher. Brandon Walter, I don't know. He's pitched like a legitimate, you know, fifth starter in the league for a good team. He's pitched well. But here's another one. Now, all of a sudden, you know, he's got arm issues. Can we have this conversation? My dad and I were talking about this. You know, 18 players on the IL. It's not normal. We've seen it with other teams before. The record is 30. So they're not even actually close to the record. We've seen 29, we've seen 30. But these are substantial players. I really do wonder at some point if Jim Crane, and my guess is he is, looking at some of these. The Pena thing, you can't do anything about. Got hit in the ribs, cracked. What are you going to do? It happens in baseball. And he's out. But there's a lot of injuries now that are soft tissue injuries. I think they got to do a really deep dive into the training staff, into the strength and conditioning staff. This is a substantial, and I've seen this happen before in basketball and baseball with people I know who had these issues, and they will tell you that, or have talked about teams that have had this issue, and it's a real thing where sometimes you just have to, you have to sweep house. You have to clean house and say, because you're not, and my dad was talking about they had an issue with one of the teams he was on where they found that how guys were lifting, when they were lifting, the recovery process, some of the lack of prioritization for stretching and things like that. They found, and I can't remember which, if it was Cleveland or Buffalo when he was there for a year, they ended up having to clean house because they weren't getting it done. These injuries, not only has the diagnosis just been terrible in some of these, which have caused further departures from the lineup for some of the players. You wonder now with this many injuries and this many arm injuries specifically, what is going on? Are they doing everything they possibly can? Are the Astros doing everything they possibly can to keep from having extensive arm injuries? Arm injuries take you out for a year, year and a half minimum now. When it's the serious one, you know, when you get the Tommy John, are they doing everything in their power to make sure that their arms are as healthy as possible? Because this seems like an extraordinarily unusual amount of arm injuries for a pitching staff over a four to five year run.
Yeah, no, it's
Jim Crane is not dumb. He's got to be looking at that, right?
But Del, we looked it up. They're not number one
in Tommy
John's arm. No.
Right. They're not, but you know what? There's other teams way lower. Why are the other teams way lower?
Yeah. No, I know.
I don't want to just say, well, we're not number one, so everything's fine.
We spin it more. We put more emphasis on the spin.
Oh, so is that a problem? Then should you get away from the spin rate?
No.
If it's going to mean injury?
Well, really? Because that's all we get is World Series titles. Okay. That's all.
And now those pitchers have had Tommy Johns, and now you got three of them you got two of them right now that are out of the major leagues for a little while. Like, at what cost, if spin rate's doing this, at what cost? You're going to pay guys for not pitching for a year, 2 years? I mean, it's kind of crazy if it's just spin rate. And I don't know that it's just spin rate. And if everyone had the answer, but is your process for preparing arms and resting arms and stretching guys, is all that stuff, is it the best it can be? Jim Crane's got to do a deep dive on that. You can't have this many guys out that you're paying for.
Well, there was reporting. I, even maybe a month or so ago, I don't remember who tweeted, maybe it was Adam Spillane, someone who covers the Astros consistently, said that before James Click got fired, he was looking into their return to play mechanisms and what was going on, but he never got to do the investigation because he got fired. Mm. Now, I'm not saying he got fired because of that, but he was right. looking to do that. Mm. And it just never got done because he was let go.
Well, it's got to be looked at. It's got to be looked at. When you have this many injuries, it has to be looked at. And we already know, it's well documented, some of the misdiagnosing is just, is to me, it's a fireable offense. To have this happen more than once, where you don't even, for Yordan, you don't even do an MRI or an X-ray on his arm, on his wrist after his injury, and you let him get in a batting cage and he re-injures it. I mean, that's I don't know how that's even possible.
Yeah, no, it's been a
comment. Maybe they didn't hit their deductible, and they just didn't want to, like, oh, I don't want to pay for an MRI. We start to hit our deductible. It's very high. Maybe they have a high deductible.
Well, yeah. Well, I don't know if it was about their deductible, although it is about deductible with a lot of people in this country right now. I'm not sure that's the case with the Astros. I am sure that we are here, and if you want to get in, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776 is the number if you would like to get in here. Just a couple of days away from picking yet two more, well, one person and a buddy coming with us for our fantasy football draft.
Or wife, or girlfriend.
Or wife, or whomever.
Or first date, maybe a Tinder date.
Ooh, how about that? That would be something. You got like to stay in the same room.
Stuck with a Tinder date for 2 days?
Yeah.
For 3 days, two nights, I should say.
Or you got to stay in the same room. Or maybe, if it's a first date, Dell will give up his room and he'll sleep with the guy, and that girl can go and sleep in Dell's room. That's a possibility, too. We'll see.
Okay.
Who does that make sense for?
Nobody.
It makes sense for her.
Christian Wilkins.
It's a first date, and she doesn't want to sleep with the guy. Okay.
Oh, she's going to a resort on the first date.
Maybe she's got morals. The deal. Okay. Maybe that's happening.
Well, tell it to DeAndre Ayton's girlfriend who he left, and the girl he invited out there. She came out there. Apparently, she wouldn't have relations with him, so he left her at Turks.
And see what
Turks
happens.
And Caicos. He left her there.
See what happens. Yeah.
I don't get the feel. I didn't get the feeling Ayton was really a good guy anyway before this.
Well, that's and this is kind ugly. Of.
And now there's a big fight on the internet that she knew what the deal was. If she went out there, and then there's other people saying, this is why you hoes need to stop hoeing. And I'm just thinking, oh, this is, I don't want.
Well, I don't know if the young lady.
I don't want body seeing this.
She's
string.
The opposite of a hoe.
I don't know if the. I don't know if the young lady can be classified as that word, but she has a certain lack of discernment. If the NBA player is flying you to a resort, what the hell do you think he's looking for?
Now, you're just like the internet. Now.
I'm not saying
maybe he's just looking to hold hands. I'm not and saying, build a relationship. Look, Lance, maybe he's courting.
Look, Lance, I'm
was
not,
he?
Was he courting?
Apparently not. Look, Lance, I'm not saying apparently he not. Should act that way, but right. I'm saying discernment falls on her side. You should. He's an NBA player who flew you out someplace. What exactly do you think?
I think she was giving him the benefit of the doubt, thinking, you know what?
Don't give him the benefit of the doubt.
This might be a courting with some heavy petting.
Oh, man. Oh,
but courting, nonetheless.
She's a build-a-body woman, from what I can tell. All I'm going to say is...
John hasn't seen her yet, clearly. He's not commenting.
All I'm going to say is...
Just Google it during the break, John.
If the NBA player is flying the build-a-body woman out, you should know better. The discernment needs to be at a higher level.
That's what the Twitter conversations have been. I don't need Maddie seeing these conversations. My daughter.
Context clues.
I can see John's looking at the John's searching right now. Look at his eyes looking into the computer.
DeAndre Ayton should not
know her when you see her.
Should not have done what he did if that's what it's alleged. But discernment. We need a level of discernment when things like this pop up. Just so you know. That's all.
Build a body, girl. There's nothing.
I'll send the link. To
DeAndre, okay, yeah. Dell will show you quickly.
Send me the link. All right, we got a break. You know, maybe she should sue him with John Daspit.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe you call 713 call now. I don't know. That's the thing. John Daspit will tell you right up front that's why you need to call his office to see if you have a case, if you've been wronged and there's due to negligence on someone else's part, you know, they'll discuss your case with you absolutely free. There's nothing to be concerned about in that regard. You make the phone call. There's no obligation. They're just discussing the case, finding out if you have a case or not. And when you do sign up with them, just know that you now have somebody fighting for you. You now have your bully you're bringing to the fight, because the insurance companies are going to, for the parties involved that were, you know, negligible, whether it's at the workplace or a place of business or, you know, out on the roadway, they're going to fight for the insurance company. The lawyers are, and they're going to try to make the settlement as low as possible because it helps their bottom line. John Dastra's not worried about their bottom line. He's worried about you. And that's why they take the time. His law firm will take the time to uncover everything in your case to make sure that every bill is paid. All your medical stuff is looked at and discovered and taken care of. Your time missed from work. How are you going to pay your bills? John Dastra's going to recoup that money for you as well as getting you a proper pain and settlement, payment as well. So all of that is covered with John Dastra and the Dastra Law Firm. Call them now or anytime in the future when you need help. You get in a wreck on the roadway and you're injured, the first number you should think of is 713. Call now or go to DastraLaw.com.
ESPN 97.5. We're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We got a lot of stuff to do this morning here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Glad you can join us. If you want to get in, 713-780-3776. A reminder, Thursday we are giving away that spot, and I think in the 9 o'clock hour again. Although we do have to switch it up. We'll see what hour. Maybe we'll change it up so that everybody has a chance.
I believe I got word that it'll be through the app. We'll do it in the 9 o'clock hour, but to give people a chance to ready for it, it'll
I
be on the
I was going to say we should just do it at exactly a certain time, like 9:30. So as soon as your clock hits 9:30. Yep. Because the people that are listening online didn't have a chance last time. So only if you were listening terrestrially you could get in, but if we do it at a certain time, like 9:30, and everybody calls in at that time, then everybody will have a chance. So yeah, we will definitely let the app people and the people watching on Twitch and everything else, YouTube, will give you guys a chance to get in as well. Apologies for that. That was probably my bad. I thought about it afterwards and said, oh gosh, we didn't give those guys a chance. So this time we will. The next couple of, actually, we have three more that we are going to be doing. So you will have a chance. But it's going to be on Thursdays. We will change up the time. So every hour, different people can participate. And we will do that starting in two days. And the summer circuit continues. The boys from noon till 6 are going to be at Carbach Brewery. You can find the entire summer circuit. ESPN97.5.com. So Thursday, noon to 6, Carbach Brewery, grand prize of the summer, a pair of brand new e-bikes from Power On Electric Bicycle Company, a $4,000 value. All you have to do is go and sign up at the promo table, and let's go. 713-780-3776. Let's get Keith in here. He has thought shortest wait times in the world right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. This show. The other shows make you wait. This show. What's
it
up, Keith?
It is fitting too because it's been a while since I've been on the bench. It's nice to be back. I follow you both on Twitter or on X. I am a Keith Pena too. I do post songs with adult interpretations, but there are warnings. Well, you will see sensitive material. Moving on to the Astros, you guys are right on. And before I get to what I want to talk briefly about pitching, I'll say this. You give me the good Fromber, the good Brown, and a good third starting pitchers, and even with an offense that might be questionable, you might be able to do something. Pitching, baby, pitching. But, you know, Lance, you hit on something, and I heard a couple of experts talking this recently. I don't remember who it was, but they were talking about how pitchers try to throw so darn hard now. They're trying to strike everybody out. Where is Gerrit Cole right now? He's on the IL. Where has Justin Verlander and Clayton Kershaw been lately? Guess where? On the IL, too. And all these young guys are old, too. Yeah, and they're old. They're old. That's true. But all these guys now are trying to, they're trying to strike everybody out. And I think that, now, and of course, you're right, Lance, with the stretching and all that stuff. I totally agree. But I also think that, you know, and you've heard guys, I've heard guys like John Smoltz talking about it. These guys try to throw so hard now. And what are your thoughts about that? And what would you like to see the Astros get, a starting pitcher or a hitter, or do you want both? Or what are your thoughts? And I'll just hang up and listen. Thank you.
Well, you ask a lot of stuff. I'll just say this. This is, I'm currently having a discussion on this Twitch chat with Keith. And look, I used to be of the mind that it was, and it is partly, I think, travel baseball and youth baseball and the arms, the UCL development is not fully mature until into like the, I think the lower to mid 20s. So it's that is a serious concern. The overuse of the arm for baseball players, for youth pitchers, is a big concern. It's a big concern. However, it is not, that is not the be-all end-all. Some of the report, and I used to think that that was probably the missing link, and unfortunately, I read a couple of papers on this, a couple of studies that were done, John Smoltz is the one who kind of brought this to my attention, which made me search for it. The fact that pitchers are not asked to pace themselves anymore and go more innings, it's a pitch count has turned it from a marathon into a sprint. So now they are throwing as hard as they can, not just with spin rates, which, you know, can play, torque the elbow a little bit. It's not just a spin rate. If your technique, and I know Tom House has talked about this with Chris Ballard with his son. They were having a discussion about it. But Tom House said you have to pitch with proper technique, lower body, you have to, or it just is going to tear the arm up. And most guys are going to default into mistakes in technique. But the big concern they're saying now is even fastballs, which I never thought would have been an issue. But because you're throwing with maximum force every single pitch, because you're looking to hit 97, 98, 99 on the gun, they say that is doing, they believe that is doing some of the damage as well. And I always thought that the fastball is how you avoided all that until I, you know, read this study and this discussion from orthopedic surgeons that were talking about, no, you can do, even without torquing the arm, if you are just trying to throw as hard as you can all the time, every time, you know, with the exception of some of the pitches. Major league pitchers will tell you, John Smoltz will talk about, yeah, I could hump it up to 97 miles an hour, but I worked at 94, you know, because I'm trying to go eight innings, you know, I'm trying to go 7 to 8 innings, and you work at a certain number, and when you need to hit a higher number, you can. Now that you hit that highest number all the time, you're not really trying to change speeds on your fastball. There's not a lot of pitching going on. There's mostly throwing. So apparently that's some of it as well. The youth thing, yes, I agree. The youth thing is a problem, but it's not the only problem right now. Because how do you explain fewer starts, fewer innings, like much less than we saw pitchers in the past who didn't have arm injuries? As far as pitching, John, as far as the trade, I'll let you handle the trade. Who are you trading for? Who's your left-handed hitting third baseman, since it's basically been specified?
Yeah.
I guess you just go look at rosters and say, this is the guy they want.
No, I think they're going to just go get a left-handed bat, period. I don't know. I guess. I don't know that it would be a third baseman. If Eugenio Suarez is somebody that they can get for and not give up way too much, then that would be the druthers. I'm glad the Yankees got Ryan McMahon. He's a Colorado guy, and he's not great. He's going to be very disappointing in New York. I would like him to go get Nick Kurtz, if you want to know the truth. That would be totally, totally sweet if they could get. Did you see these numbers? And by the way, we'll see. I mean, Dana was on last night for they brought Dana Brown on the broadcast last night in the third inning, and it was three up, three down, like the fastest inning ever. They got two questions in, and you got nothing. Although we have heard Dana talking a lot, he apparently is going to make a move. I'm just worried. What are you giving up for? I don't know. I don't know where we are this season. I was really, really high on this club, thinking that, you know, that, wow, we were wrong after early in the season. We said, no, this isn't a championship team. Then it was like, holy crap, this is the best record in the American League. And then it's like, no, this is who they are more. This run that they're on is actually less surprising than the great run that they were on when they beat the snot out of the Dodgers and everybody else. So over the last month, Major League leaders, you know, this is unbelievable. In the Major League leader in home runs, RBI, ISO, average, on base, slugging, WOBA, WRC plus, F4, barrels. One guy.
Kurtz?
Nick Kurtz.
No, are you serious?
Every statistic. Is that crazy? I mean, you want to talk about a guy. Somebody tweeted me, or X, whatever, posted, said, John, Nick Kurtz is going to be Barry Bonds. Now, slow down just a minute, but I will say this. If dude could hit it Minute Maid, that's why the Astros should really, really consider acquiring him. If he could hit it Minute Maid Park every day with that, with the Crawford boxes, who? Oh, it was Dallas. Who was the pitcher for the threw the no hitter for the A's? Dallas. Anyway,
Keuchel,
not Keuchel.
Braden.
Braden. Dallas, oh,
Dallas Braden.
Braden. Dallas Braden was on with the guys on the A's broadcast before the
old
series started,
Dallas
and he
Braden.
Goes. He goes, watch, and this was right before Kurtz had the four home runs. He goes, watch Kurtz with those Crawford boxes because he goes the other way as good as well as anybody in the game. And sure enough, he hit three to the Crawford boxes. I mean, if Nick Kurtz could, the way he goes either in Fenway, if he was in Fenway or here, Nick Kurtz would be Barry Bonds. He would be Barry Bonds. That's because he can go with a pitch like that. He is that guy has been incredible. Cam Smith had to sit last night. It was not a bad deal. Cam has really been struggling lately, and you know, not only Cam is struggling, but all the rookies are really having a hard time of it. Cam needs to he needed a little break, and hopefully he's going to get back. There's still a couple of months left to the season. But this looks like it's Nick Kurtz's award, and it's not even going to be close.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
It's not.
I mean, he's doing incredible. He's doing things that Barry, listen, over a month period, this guy is like Babe Ruth. He's incredible.
I'm expecting our caller Israel to call in and say, you know, my guy Cam really has had a nice season, but holy crap, what a player this Nick Kurtz is.
You're waiting for Israel to say.
I'm going to predict his next call. He's going to talk about how good Nick Kurtz is.
Wait by the phone. He's going to give you a call any second.
Okay.
Wait by the phone.
Okay.
I'm going to talk to you because we've already mentioned on Thursday we're giving away a spot for our Golden Nugget fantasy draft. How cool is that going to be? 28th and 29th. What about your fantasy draft being there? Think about it. Get your guys together. Say, hey, guys, let's go on the weekend. We'll do a Saturday. And stay overnight, Saturday night. They've got packages available where you get food and drink and rooms, and they've got a great deal going on. And how about the Saturday before the NFL season starts, you've got all the college football games and great college football games, and you're right there with the DraftKings Sportsbook. You're right there, DraftKings Sportsbook, college football, your fantasy draft. Get your guys together. Let's go. You want to talk about something special. Mike, I've got a bunch of buddies. They do a golf trip, where they do 3 days in their fantasy draft. What, you want to talk about fun? I would much rather, though, be at the Golden Nugget. Plus, well, if you want to do golf, you got that there. You want to do pool? You want to bring wives, and they can be in the pool while you guys are doing your fantasy draft for 3 hours, and the rest of the time you're having a big time at the Golden Nugget? Are you kidding me? This is a great way to do your fantasy draft. The Golden Nugget Lake Charles. There's nothing that, I mean, the hotel is beautiful. And the restaurants are great. Everything about it. Why not to plan a little getaway for that first weekend of college football and do your fantasy draft at the Golden Nugget? Look at the packages. GoldenNuggetLC.com. GoldenNuggetLC.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Kane is in the building. You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 737-8030-776. What a... I read the Sheldon Rankin's quotes yesterday. Wow. Dude lost like... He had shingles last year. And he's still under his playing weight right now. But he dropped some serious pounds last year.
Who are you talking about?
Sheldon Rankins.
Yeah, I saw him yesterday. Well, so I made it to camp for the first time yesterday. And he came in after D'Amico Ryans into the little tent where they do the media stuff. And I wasn't sure who it was. He is a lean muscle machine, like no bad weight. Now, he was always, you know, he wasn't a 300-pound guy when he came out of college. So he's never been a fat guy by any stretch of the imagination. He's always been a guy who's been in pretty good shape. But, man, does he look good. Like, he looks like the old, I'm not saying Aaron Donald. He doesn't look like Aaron Donald, but he's got that kind of, you know, he clearly has the body type of going to be a lean mass guy who's not going to be, he's not a real big guy, but he looked good.
Yeah.
He looked
well,
physically,
good.
He looked good.
Yeah, you got to get shingles to look like that. That is...
Well, you think
it's...
Oh, they think it's shingles is why he lost a bunch of weight?
That's what he had. Yes, he had shingles last year. He lost like 40... I forget
what the number. Gained it back.
Well, yeah, he's gained it back, but he lost it. He said he was so weak, he couldn't even... It was debilitating how bad it was.
So you can lose good weight with shingles? Huh.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I mean, you get sick, bro. You get sick.
Well, one of the best diets is stomach virus, but I didn't know shingles was also a pretty good diet. My wife had shingles once. She didn't get sick.
Wow.
It just hurt.
A pretty good diet.
Shingles?
Shingles.
Well, you can lose 40 pounds.
Oh, my gosh.
When me and my wife had that extended one-week food poisoning, all she could talk about was, this is actually... This is the thinnest I've been. Yeah, this is actually the thin. She goes, I like this.
Of all people,
I don't like being
she's
sick.
So skinny. I know, women think they're
tell
fat.
Tell it to a woman.
Oh, well, all women think they're fat.
No, you look great. No, I'm the heaviest I've been. Okay.
Sorry,
I even mentioned it.
I know
like
my wife,
politics
when she,
with someone.
Whenever I say, hey, you're looking great, she's like, oh, God.
I know. There's never a, oh, yeah. Thank you.
No.
If my wife said one nice thing to me, I'd be so happy. Like, wow.
She doesn't care what you think of her.
No, she does.
No, it's all about
she
women.
She does. If Wendy said that to her, it would matter.
It's all
if
about
If I say
women.
It, it's nothing. I mean, you look really great in that. No, I look so fat in this. Just forget I said anything nice.
All right. So D'Amico had a bit of an issue with the media, and it's specifically Ian Rappaport, I think.
Yeah, so this was about Rappaport. He was asked about the Joe Mixon stuff. Mm-hmm. And this is definitely... at Rappaport. Now, Rappaport, just to let you know, Ian Rappaport, who works at NFL Network, I know him a little, and I know about his, you know, how he moves and maneuvers. He gets intel from inside buildings. He doesn't just make things, I will say, he just doesn't make things up. I'm not disputing anything that D'Amico's saying, but what I am telling you is that he doesn't just say stuff. Ian doesn't say stuff because he doesn't just know stuff. He's one of those guys that gets on the phones and talks to people. And he has guys in pretty much every building. So I'll just say that.
Yeah. So, well, he did not like the Joe Mixon report. He was not happy with that. Here is D'Amico yesterday chastising the media a little bit.
Yeah, nothing's changed with Joe. Joe is still working, you know, in the background. I know we get reports about Joe. Nothing's changed. He's still working. Whenever it's time for Joe to be back, he'll be back. Right? I know. A lot of people want to report a lot of things about guys with injuries. My thing is this is, are you really concerned about our guys? Or are you really just trying to get something out there, right? And for me, I always put my players' health and safety first and foremost. So I care about the guys, so you guys don't hear me talking a lot about injuries because that's their personal information. Guys are working through that, and there's nothing to report or get in an uproar about. Like, our guys are working, and that's – it's always sensitive to me because I've been there. I've went through that. So it's not just to report something. Like, want people here who truly care about our guys. I care about our guys and what they're doing throughout their process, and it'll continue to be that way.
Hmm. Well, we care because we want to know whether or not we should draft them.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
What the hell is he talking about?
I have no idea.
It's kind of a word salad a little bit. I mean, it's let's be honest. What is D'Amico trying to say? That the report about him missing most of preseason is inaccurate? Let's see how it plays out. I'll be honest with you.
Well,
I'm going to probably side with Rappaport on this one. If you ask me to take a $20,000 chip and place it on, when D'Amico didn't say anything definitive anyway. No.
His guys are working. But Joe is working, is what we heard. That's all.
Nothing
timeline, time frame. But he's working.
But the report was that he had Ian Rappaport, if I'm not mistaken, it was about the timeline, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So what's? I don't know exactly what he's going.
Does
after
Ian Rappaport really care about Joe Mixon, or is he just concerned about reporting the news?
They're reporting the news.
You mean his job?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what he does.
Well, D'Amico is asking questions about whether people really care or are they here to report news.
I think he cares about getting it right.
Yes, I do. I do think that.
Factual or was it? Yeah.
Is
he just clickbaiting?
Oh, no. He's not going to clickbait. He loses his credibility and he's done. Like, you can't be an insider and clickbait because the people in the buildings won't give you intel anymore. You won't be an insider if you burn those people with bad intel. So you can't, like, that just doesn't happen. You know, Mark Berman taught me this years ago. Mark Berman was one of the best. You know why? Because Mark Berman if he was told not to report something, he didn't report it. If he was given information, he would verify it before he used it. Mark Berman went through the proper channels and got it done. When he said something, it was golden. And that's how it was. Most of these guys like Schefter and Rappaport and Pelissero and whoever else you want, Jeremy Fowler, you can think whatever you want about them, but for the most part, they're going to have a high hit rate because their entire job centers around not burning sources, getting intel from the proper channels, and delivering it in the way that it's supposed to be delivered so that they don't lose that source. So if you ask me, my guess is we don't see Joe Mixon at all in the preseason, and I'm curious now if we even see him in week one.
Well, the fact of the matter is we never see Joe in any games anyway.
Yeah, we're not going to see him.
He never plays in the preseason. He doesn't play in the preseason. I saw a stat that the last 4 years he's not even been on the field ever in a preseason game.
Yeah,
and that's a running back. You don't need him. You don't need him in the game, quite frankly. That's for guys trying to win jobs, not a guy who could get possibly injured. He doesn't need reps in a game. He needs to be as strong as possible when the season starts. But yeah, I'm with you, Del. What is D'Amico saying? What is he trying to say here? You don't care about our guys? No, we care about doing our job. Like, it's reporting the news. If Joe Mixon isn't going to play, if his injury is more serious and he quite possibly could be out longer than they're letting on, then that's a news story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's absolutely
at the very end, he says, we want people around here who care. Maybe that's a shot at the building, the not release news to Ian Rappaport. I would understand that. You don't want people inside your building giving an outside reporter news. But as far as the reporting itself, Ian Rappaport reports on injuries all the time. I don't think he holds Joe Mixon at a point where he's going to be, you know what, I'm going to keep this in my back pocket because I love Joe Mixon. That's not how these guys operate. That's what I didn't understand. And D'Amico's not brand new, as he mentioned. He loves his guys, but he's been a coach, an assistant, a head coach, and a player. That's what he mentioned because I've been in that spot. So you know how it works. He knows how it works. He's not brand new, so I'm not sure other than he'd rather have his building locked tight. I'm not sure what his problem is.
Right. Yeah, I don't get it. That's just a coach trying to protect his guy.
Yeah, and that's what it is.
Maybe he didn't want that news out there.
I imagine he didn't, but Joe Mixon's been in the league a long time. I feel like I've seen Joe Mixon walk around and talk. I feel like he's a very confident individual. I don't think he's going to be brokenhearted because Ian Rappaport's reported about a foot.
Now, you know, I had a chance to talk to D'Amico on the field after practice. I just had a quick conversation with him. and outside of the little media scrum thing. And I asked him, I said, Coach, this is the most, like, right now, Scruggs is running with the threes. Juice Scruggs is with the threes. This is a second-round pick. Blake Fisher is with the twos. He's not with the ones. Ariante Ursary, another second-rounder, has apparently got the jump on him early on. And I was asking, you know, you have Jake Andrews in there, who they brought in from New England, who is playing ahead of Juice Scruggs. And I was asking D'Amico, is this, like, do you have, is this the most, does this amount of depth, I'm not saying all of it's good, but there's a lot of depth. Is this amount of depth give you the best opportunity to have true competition across the board? He goes, yeah. He said, there's nobody has a job. He said, everyone's going to have to earn it. And the more he talked, the more I realized he loves this, that he doesn't have to promise anyone a job out there. I mean, yes, Titus Howard is going to have a job. There's no question about that. But, and right now, Jarrett Patterson looks like he's pretty solid at the center position. But, and same thing with Laken Tomlinson. But I think he loves the fact that he gets to really, you know, it's not putting the screws to guys. It's really saying, look, this, you're competing for this spot and you're not giving anything. I think he legitimately was pissed off at the offensive line and was disgusted with how that season went down. He wouldn't use those words, but he basically said, that's it. Everyone's fighting for a spot now. And the two guys, and you know, I haven't been out, this is the first time out in practice. I talked to somebody who has been every practice who said there's been beatings for Blake Fisher. Now he's going up against really good defensive ends, but he's not holding his own at all. He's really, really struggling. Juice Scruggs, ain't nothing given to him. If he can't get it done, Juice Scruggs will find himself looking for a job. So D'Amico, when he talked about changing the mindset and changing the culture and making changes on the offensive line, boy, he was not joking around. He was not joking around at all. This may not be the best offensive line, but I can tell you this, he's not going to stay pissed. He's definitely not standing pat with an offensive line that was bad last year. And this offensive line, my guess is there'll be a lot more changes next year, and the draft is going to be heavy on offensive line, probably two different picks on the O-line, certainly a high early one. But he and you don't just get a spot because you had a spot last year. That is clearly not happening.
Nope. All right, 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, if you want to see guns, I got the place for you. Collectors Firearms. CollectorsFirearms.com. Go check out the website, or better yet, just go to the building. It's an incredible building. It's at Voss and Westheimer. I don't know where you are in the city. It could be a long drive for you. It's basically a gun museum. That's what it is. I mean, it is. If you're a gun enthusiast, this is something that you should not. I don't care where you are in the city, the Woodlands or Humble, wherever you are, Beaumont. You know what? If you're looking for an unbelievable gun place to see guns and swords and knives and rifles and shotguns and tanks, it's unbelievable. If you're a history buff, this is for you. You're a hunter, this is for you. If you just want protection at home, this is for you. If you want to sell your gun, this is for you. The place is incredible. If you've never been to Collector's Firearms, you need to go see it. Westheimer at Voss, right on the corner there, huge building. There's a tank out front. I'm pretty sure you can find it because there's a tank. You're not going to go anywhere else and see a tank out front. So if you're looking for any gun whatsoever, it's just incredible. New, used, old, historic, whatever. The best damn gun shop in the world, collectorsfirearms.com.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.